from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, September 21st. Coming up, COVID-19 vaccine supplies are plentiful in the United States, but that's not the case in many places around the world. We'll learn why that's leading people to take extreme measures to try to get a shot. More on that story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A union that represents a couple hundred frontline state employees has come to an agreement with Governor J.B. Pritzker's office on his vaccine mandate for frontline state employees. But as Hannah Meisel reports, the state's largest public employee union is still resisting the mandate.
Pritzker announced in early August that he'd be mandating the COVID vaccine for state employees who work in settings like prisons, state-run mental hospitals, and veterans' homes. On Monday, the governor announced an agreement that covers about 260 employees in the state's prison system and juvenile justice department, with narrow exceptions for medical or religious objections. But the union that represents the vast majority of those workers is opposed to a blanket mandate, and instead wants its members to be able to opt out and do regular COVID testing instead. Pritzker has said he's not backing down from requiring congregate care workers to get vaccinated. The deadline for those workers to get their first dose is now mid-October. I'm Hannah Meisel.
The governor says money to keep Northern Illinois nuclear plants online was a necessary part of his efforts to move Illinois to full clean energy production by 2050.
Nuclear doesn't pollute carbon into the atmosphere. So we want to make sure that we're not only producing a lot of energy, but it's clean energy, and the only way to do that is to maintain those nuclear plants.
Pritzker says it was necessary to work with Exelon, the owners of those plants, to keep energy production within Illinois instead of importing power from other states. Power customers are on the hook for nearly $700 million in payments to the company over the next 5 years as part of the deal to keep those plants open. Pritzker says this funding is a sixth of the total Exelon received in bailout money 5 years ago. The Champaign County Board votes Thursday on salaries for four countywide elected officials for the next 4 years, including a raise for the county clerk and a deep pay cut for the county executive. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The proposal comes from County Board Vice Chair Steve Summers. He supports a $20,000 raise for the county clerk, bringing that salary to $117,000 a year. The clerk's office is in the process of taking over the recorder of deeds duties, and Summers says a raise is appropriate.
Would make more, yes, absolutely. I think if you're going to do more work, there should be some compensation for it.
Meanwhile, Summer wants to cut the county executive's salary by more than a third to $70,000 a year. Summer plans to run for Champaign County Executive in 2022, but he says the job pays too much and notes that he supported a $70,000 salary when the position was created 4 years ago. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County public health officials reported 45 new COVID-19 cases yesterday and one additional death. The death toll in Champaign County is up to 184. The number of active cases has fallen to just over 700. That's down from a recent high of nearly 1,200 10 days ago. Carle Hospital in Urbana is reporting 66 patients currently hospitalized with COVID-19, down from 72 a week ago. 15 COVID patients are in the ICU. About 53% of Champaign County's total population is vaccinated against COVID-19. That's slightly below the statewide figure. Still to come, we'll learn about the measures people around the world are taking to come to the United States to get a COVID-19 vaccine shot. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
I'm Christine Herman, health reporter at WILL. Your support for Illinois Public Media powers my reporting on issues of access to health care for vulnerable communities and the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on children's mental health and school reopening plans. You can make a gift of support right now at willgive.org. That's willgive.org to support the work from Illinois Public Media and Illinois Newsroom. And thank you.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. While most Americans can easily get a COVID vaccine at their local pharmacy, tens of millions of people around the world don't have that luxury because where they live, vaccines are in limited supply. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri reports that's leading some to take extreme measures to try to get a shot.
You may have heard of people crossing the southern border into the U.S. to get a COVID vaccine, but increasingly, some people who can afford it are crossing the world to do just that.
So all in all, I think it's going to be around 25 or 26 hours, including her transits in two countries.
That's Merhan Omran. She's Egyptian and lives in Sunbury, Ohio, but her family's back home in Egypt. She was anxious about her mom flying here all the way from Egypt. That's 11,000 miles of flying and nearly $1,000 in airfare. Her mom, Sarah Ismail, arrived in Ohio on time, and she was on a mission.
Hi. Yes, we're checking in for the COVID vaccine.
Ismail is jet-lagged, but still shows up on time at a local CVS for her Pfizer vaccine shot. And Omran keeps her company.
Right. Do you want to take this middle chair in here? And do you want your right or your left arm?
This one. My mom is considered a senior, and with the underlying conditions, like she deserves to be given priority. But in Egypt, this doesn't happen.
And that's because the supply of COVID vaccines is very limited in countries like Egypt. In fact, less than 5% of residents there are fully vaccinated.
This is really a symptom of a broken system.
This is Dr. Tom Frieden. He heads the group Resolve to Save Lives and is a former director of the CDC.
Fundamentally, it's starvation in the midst of plenty. And that's not just ethically unacceptable, that's epidemiologically hazardous, because the spread of COVID means increased risk of more dangerous variants.
This global vaccine disparity is happening as demand in the U.S. dwindled over the summer and wasted doses piled up. Sage Khanna is an entrepreneur who works in Indianapolis. His father lives in New Delhi and got COVID last year, spending 3 weeks in the hospital. So as soon as vaccines started rolling out in the U.S., he flew to Indianapolis to get his shot. Khanna's wife arranged one for her mother, who also lives in India.
Nobody asked, are you a citizen or not? They're just giving you the vaccine.
And that's been encouraging many who have the means to travel to the U.S. for a shot. But most people just don't have this luxury.
For my family members, if we had the luxury of bringing them here to get the vaccine, then I absolutely would have done that.
That's Dr. Mohammed Hajiri, a cardiologist in Mansfield, Ohio. His family's in Jordan and Syria with no valid U.S. visa. He says back home, people trust American science and medicine, but misinformation about vaccines in the U.S. can reverberate overseas.
Jordan people, they're like, no, I heard about this American doctor who says that this is going to alter your DNA, that there's a little chip in there.
He cautions that U.S. officials must continue to combat such misinformation so that when more vaccines do make it to countries now lacking them, people there would roll up their sleeves for a shot. Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says cloudy and cooler today, with showers and thunderstorms likely, and a high of 71 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Tim Shelley, Jim Meadows, and Farah Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.